كم من سورة لقمان. من سورة لقمان من الله سبحانه وتعالى سيرين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وهو يعظه يا بني لا تشرك بالله إن الشرك لظلم عظيم. So the first thing, the concept of the parenthood, or the backbone of the concept of the parenthood in the mankind, is what? يَا بُنَيْ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ. Oh my son, do not commit association with Allah. Or by another word, parents is the sheen, is the introduction between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that child. You are the one who introducing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to that child. How you will do that? First, by knowledge, by giving him the right knowledge, or give her the right knowledge. What are those, the minimum amount of knowledge that every single family or every single parents, they suppose to give about Allah? Number one, you have to let the child know exactly how Allah defined himself in the Holy Quran as a Muslim. And before we go for any detail in here, there are two areas, and these are they sealed and they close peacefully, miraculously, with the mercy, a door about a lot of confusion. One surah and one ayah. Surah Al-Ikhlas, when it says قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. That's must know. Ahad is different from one. Ahad, it means one alike, no like, no second, no before and no after. One means there is a second, there is a third, there is a fourth, there is a billion. So Allahu Ahad, Allahu Samad, the sustainer. Lam yalid wa lam yulad does not respond to natural law. Because they're maintaining the species is Yalid and Yulad. Yalid and Yulad is a natural reproduction law. Give a birth and be birth, be born. These are a natural law. This is for the creation, not for the creator. So it does not apply. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ and none likened to him. The second enforcement that you're supposed to do in his mind or her mind is in Surah Ash-Shura, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. That means don't try to imagine him, because nothing that you can imagine will give you any true understanding or a true about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are basic fundamental must be given to the child. The second it comes thing is that you have to teach the child how to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about his deed. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what are the deeds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his behavior, by another word. We know that in Asma'ullah al-Husna, they are 99 names. The most common one is 99, but there are more. But the most common one, they are 99. But if we're going to sum those 99, they're in them. There are what you can call the root name. Root name is, let me give you an example about what I mean by that. When I come and say, he is a man and she is a woman, that's a name and that's a name, right? But when I come and say he is a kind man, she is patient woman, the description, the second, is a child to the parent. The parent here is what? Man or woman. The description here. So in Asma'illah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, there are roots and there are a description to those roots. It comes in those roots, and those we must know, and we must give the others. It comes on the top of it, Al-Khaliq. Allah is the creator of every and anything. Allah, Al-Khaliq. We can say, beautiful creation. Al-Jameel. Wise. Creation with wisdom. But the root here is what? Khaliq. The second root is Al-Raziq. The provider. The one who, to make the long story short, when it comes to the word Raziq, that means what? He knows in any given time what you need and give it to you. He knows. You are the same person. When you were in your mother's feet, if you were not served chicken or meat or potatoes or rice or whatever, you were given exactly what did you need. And all your stages of your life, you got exactly what you need. Amount-wise, quality-wise, component-wise. That is a raziq. And imagine that in the same time with all other species. In the same second. It is not, hold on, I'm going to feed now the people or the creation on the sea. And after that, I'm going to come to the land. In the land, let me go to the mountain and come right back at you. All of that, al-raziq. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third, al-musaytir. The controller. We all know it. We all know it. Once you establish something, and this something grow up, or you grow old, or you have a lot of responsibility, your hold on that, whatever you developed, you get loose, weaken. Corporation growing up too much. You're going to have to make a board here and board here and off. Before you know it, you have a manager here, a manager here, a manager here. And this manager maybe going to work with you or rebellion against you or whatever that is. Even the father for a family, when it is a small, he can control it, or the mother can control it. When this family grow up, loosen up. But what you need to know is al-musaytir. Al-musaytir, that means what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in total control in the affairs of every and anything He created in a full command 24/7. 24/7. And He is closer to be controller. He is a lot more closer to you than you think. Who will introduce that to the child? You. Al-Muhi. That's number four. He is the only one who gives life. And he is the only one, number five, the only one can give death. Now, for a second, the one who created you, the one who provides you, the one who is in control on your destiny and on you, the one who can take your soul, give you life, and the one who can take it. You tell me how you will submit to other than him and why. Show me who can do what to you. Nothing. Because whomever that is, he is Allah created him, Allah provided for him, Allah in total control on him, over him, Allah can give him life, Allah can give him death. If he's a creature like you, how you can be afraid of him? How is that going to work? You see how building the character here? You're going to deal with others, but you know who is the one who can have an impact. Okay, it is not the subject of the khutbah is to talk about shirk today. But what is shirk now? Shirk, I call him the silent killer of iman. Like the blood pressure, wal-azu billah, he can sneak on you, and before you know what happened, you end up with a stroke, you end up with a heart diseases, and you help with a lot of things. Also shirk. Kufr is clear. Hypocrisy is clear. Everybody know it. But the silent killer in your life is the shirk. The association. Sneak nice and easy in your life, day in and day out, and keep on going. And before you know it, you are right in the middle of it, and you are God. وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ إِلَّا وَهُمْ بِاللَّهِ مُشْرِكُونَ. Think you are in excellent state of belief, but in reality you are in state of shirk. To make the long story short, how I know that I am suffering, I have some element of that shirk that is killing my iman. Under any given second, if you believe that anyone in that universe or the whole universe can impact you by being good to you or being bad to you, can benefit you or can harm you other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have a shirk, one way or another. If you believe anybody can harm you or anybody can benefit you other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you got a problem. Because what the reality says and what the Quran says, if it comes to it, Allah will make your enemy serve you and take care of you and look after you. Who take care of Sayyidina Musa? Who gave him the best housing, the best food, the best education, the best health care, the best parent? Who gave Sayyidina Musa all of that? يَأْخُذْهُ what? عَدُوٌ لِي وَعَدُوٌ لَهُ. When it comes down to him, Allah, you are dealing with the one who can make your enemies serve you, protect you. So you, there is no وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. They have no fear, they have no sadness. These are symptoms. Symptoms. It says that you are either a tool or you are impacted by shirk, and you are a tool in the hand of shaitan. You have to teach your child from the beginning how to stand up against all of that, how to take care of that. And the first two element, if you are successful in doing them, inshallah, you will have a smooth sail. If you don't have those clear, go back and do them. It will never be too late. Will never be too late. We all, as a human being, we don't have a problem of identifying existing of Allah. That is not a problem. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. If you ask, listen, if you cannot identify there is a supreme power out there, taking care of the sun and taking care of the moon and taking care of the rain, and you see people die and you see things. If you don't see that and you don't recognize that, you are okay, you don't have any problem. Have we heard about graveyard for birds? Where they go? You have burning, you have animal giving birth every single second. Where did the drops go? Who is doing it? The city of Washington, D.C.? Or the city in Annapolis, or the city in whatever? No. There is a supreme power. But what is the problem all the time with the among the human being? The problem all the time is how to define it. And after we define it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a messenger to define it, obey or not to obey. Are we going to obey or not? That is the problem. That is the core. That is the nerve system of any religion. The obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not acknowledging the acknowledgement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the act of obedience and where you stand. I am willing to be the most religious person on the face of the planet Earth as long as you don't touch my interest. God forbid there are some people, I like to drink, I like to womanize, I like to do this, I like to run. Well, listen, this is how you run business. If you want to make money, you are coming to tell me this is right and this is wrong, you do this and don't do that. Get out of my face. And immediately, you're not going to teach me how to live my life. You're not going to teach me. I am a religious my way, or I want to do it my way. And here it comes, the difference. Started to deviate and started to turn around. Never be under the impression that the kafir does not know that what you're saying is right. Never. The word kafir itself, it comes to mean what? By the will, cover. When I say the farmer, kafara, al-bid, that means the farmer put the dirt over the seed. So the word kafara might mean deliberately cover up, poor cover, deny, by another word. So you have to teach him. You have to teach the child what he supposed that the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the starting is unconditional obedience to Allah and His Messenger. مَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهُ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولُ. The case is closed. The point of deviation between, at the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, between the sincere believer and between others. One said, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We hear, we obey. The other one said what? سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا. We hear, we disobey. Or give us a time. Or. That's the difference. Tell him to establish a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by unconditional obedience to Allah. When we comes to the issue of obedience, usually when I ask you to obey me, usually it is for my best interest. Except your parents. Your parents, when they say obey me, most likely for your own interest. But in you and me, when you ask me to do something or stop doing something, usually it is for your best interest. But when we come to the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has no interest if you obey him or you don't obey him. Your obedience will not going to benefit him. Your act of disobedience will not going to harm him. You are the only beneficiary out of your act of obedience. If you do it for yourself, if you don't, من عمل صالحا فلنفسه ومن أساء فعليها وما ربك بظلام للعبيد. If you do good and you obey for yourself, you do bad, the return will be against you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fair and just with everybody. So there is no concept here. You have to teach him also to be patient and accept Allah's decree in his life. Patient and accept Allah's decree. But what? Basically, patient means what? Accepting and tolerating what I usually do not accept and tolerate for the purpose of what? Obeying and pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the definition of patient. But what make me do that? Why make me take the inconvenience and things that I don't take usually? Why? If I have a confident in Allah's mercy and in Allah's justice, I will be patient. And you have to teach them how to do it. When Sayyidina Yaqub, they took Sayyidina Yusuf from him and they gave him the phony shirt and a wolf eating a child and he doesn't leave one single hole. and that shirt. That is very, very polite, Wolf. What he said, Sabran Jamilan. Sabran Jamilan. I will go to patient. Why? Why? Why he did that? Because he has a confident in Allah's mercy and in Allah's justice. And after that, at the end, probably if Sayyidina Yusuf stayed in the same environment, he would not have the personality, he would not have the education, he would not have the experience that it qualify him to be what? To rule Egypt. Allahu ya'lam wa antum la ta'lam. Allah all knowing and you don't. Who gonna build that confidence in that child? You. You have to teach the child about what it called the red lines. Red lines, that mean neither me or you gonna cross. When it comes to lawful and forbidden, according to Quran and Sunnah, these are red lines none of us gonna cross. I am not gonna cross, and you are not gonna cross. We will never tolerate and accept forbidden in our cultures, in our homes, in our family. And unfortunately, now we are turning the other cheek and turning the face somewhere else, and we're leaving everybody do what they want, thinking how we can love them and claim we are love them, and we see that they are doing everything wrong and we don't say or do anything about it. If that's what we are doing, what if their enemy will do then? They don't need enemies. All the time, let him have a confident, very high level of confident in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warning messages. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after the revelation of the Holy Quran, there is no change. There is no change to what he promised that he's going to do. And there is no change to what he promised that he's going to reward. And there is no change to what he promised that he, how this warning will turn out to be the actual. There is a Jannah and there is a وَلَيَزُ بِاللَّهِ الْفَيْرِ إِنَّمَا تُعَدُونَ لَآتْ. Tell him, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a concept. Allah is reality. When he say there is a Jannah, it means there is a Jannah. When he said there is a nar, وَلَيَزُ بِاللَّهِ, there is a nar. And by the way, the word Jannah, it comes in describing anything that you know it is exist, you know, but by your five senses cannot realize. And this is from there we got the word jinn. Jinn, you know the jinn. The jinn got the name jinn because we know they exist, but our five senses cannot realize. So anything, you know that they do exist, but you do not have a physical evidence, five senses, you go under the word jinn, like jinn, or like jannah, or the word jannah. Jannah, we know that exists, the jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Allah promised is reality, it's true, but we cannot realize by our five senses. And here it comes to the word jannah. You have to let him know that the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true. And there is an end to this. There is an end to your life. And that, like Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam said, the dunya mazra'atul akhirah. The dunya is the farm for the hereafter. And Live in it exactly like you are a traveler, somebody passing by, for to his final destination. It is just something in your road to reach the destination. Who will teach him all of that? You. So these are the things that is supposed to be established. Another thing, and the last thing that you need to teach your child, is how to thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't mean to criticize. Believe me, I'm not. Because I'll never be in their shoes. And I believe for a second I will ever be. But when it was the last time you heard your child saying, Alhamdulillah? When it was the last time? And if he's not or she is not doing it, do you have something to do with that? Did you train him to do that? Look at the way we deal with each other, guys. Just because it is a professional. We keep shooting the word thank you for everything. Somebody opened the door, thank you. Somebody answered the phone for you, thank you. Somebody passed you a piece of paper, thank you. Somebody let you pass by for while you are driving, thank you. That's a very beautiful attitude. That's a good manner. We do it, Muslims or non-Muslim, we do it. But that is something appreciated between us as a human being. But how the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what He is giving you. And by the way, there is a difference between two things. Between alhamd and between al-shukr. Al-shukr, that means you did something beneficial to me, something that I like, and I say thank you. So usually, I am expressing my gratitude by saying what? Thank you. Shukran. But about something that you gave or something you did, and it is beneficial to me. If you did something harmful to me, I'm not going to say thank you. Okay. Alhamd. Alhamd, that means you are appraising. Appraising the subject, regardless what's coming out of it. I know that this is the source of goodness. What's going to come out of it? It's good. I like it, it's good. I don't like it, it's good also. And that's called alhamd. And this is what we're going to see here when we start the Quran al-Kareem, when we start reading, we read bottom. Say what? Bismillah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Alhamd. The key to the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with what? Alhamd. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamd here, what it stands for. Alhamd, it says, Ya Allah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah. Alhamd here, it means what? Ya Allah, I recognize, I realize you are the source of all goodness. And whatever comes from you, I am grateful for. So the hamd will include the thank, but the thank does not include the hamd. Who will teach your child to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Be able to recognize Allah giving in every second. When Allah gives you the health, to give you food, say Alhamdulillah. Who gonna teach your child to thank Allah and to praise Allah, and how? No one but you. No one but you. And that's what the parenthood is all about. These are major guidelines that from the Quran and the Sunnah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to help us to fulfill our obligation to our family and to fulfill our obligation to our children. Once we started to deal with them with that And day in and day out, we are enforcing those principles. It's going to come the day where your job is done, and the relationship between that child, when you grow up to be a man or a woman, it will be direct. You are interim in his life. Interim stage in his life or her life. But very soon, that's going to go away. And if you did not succeed to build the relationship between the child and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, here is the problem. That's where Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, حَسْبُ الْمَرْءِ مِنَ الْإِثْءِ أَنْ يَضِيعَ مَنْ يَعُولُ. There is no sin bigger than you let whomever you are responsible for in your family go astray. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us the truth and help us to apply the teaching of the Holy Quran and teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our life. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى آتاه الله اليقين. Now, how inshallah very very quickly how we gonna apply those principles? Like you see, there is nothing extraordinary. There is something that we all don't already know. But the recommendation is this: invest your love to your child the right way. Look at it this way: your love to your child is the gas to your car. It is the gas to your car. Invest it right. The first, give him the right information. Give him this information. Give him it with love. Give him in dosages. Promote and demote for him and for the implementation of him. When you do that, you get rewarded. When you don't, you don't. The second most important thing. Give me a role model. I want to see what you are talking about in life. Don't tell me to do something that you don't do. And don't tell me to stop something that you are already doing. Don't do that. Please, be the role model. Be the role model in your life, in the life of your child. Even the role model, it has stages. When the child is young, a toddler, we already saw it here. Some of the brothers bring toddlers with them sometimes. A little girl and a little boy sometimes and whatever. They see the parents pray, they pray. And maybe when they are making sujood, they're going to stand up and they're going to run all over. Allah bless them. May Allah bless them. But what they are doing what they are doing, what you are doing. Okay. When they start in the second stage of their life, according to the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, turn the switch from you to Sayyidina Muhammad. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must be a role model in every single home. Sayyidina Muhammad is the role model. قَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared it. Muhammad is the best role model to whomever. Whomever want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be saved in the day of judgment, وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. And he was in a state of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So your stage, your job, is you yourself to be a role model to implementation of those and introduce him to Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam will take over in his life or in her life. We have to go back to our families. I will never stop saying this statement. I never lose hope. Every family got a problem. And we're not gonna be a human being and not gonna be alive if we don't have problems. every family got a problem. Your child will be still a child. Your obligation will be there when there is something wrong going on all the time. All the time. كلكم راعٍ وكلكم مسؤول. And I don't mean by the go back to your family, I don't only mean the physical family. Father and mother and children, biological. I mean your family. This is your family. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, make us family. Allah is my witness. There are a lot of brothers and sisters in my life. I love them and respect them dearly. And I'm willing to go all the way to help them or to be with them in the suffering point. And Allah knows. Neither one of us understand or what we have in common, only La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. If they speak, I will never understand one single word. And if I speak my language, they will never understand one single word. But Allah allafa bayna qulubihim. And I hope that we will be among those. This is a family. This is a family. You are a family. So those obligations, according to what Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, كلكم راعٍ وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. Everyone has the responsibility to the others. We have to work it out this way. If you leave a vacuum, shaitan will fill it. If you turn your back, shaitan wouldn't. If you don't do the job, the shaitan will. Don't leave the loved one. When my obligation to my family, and I'm going to put the S at the end, will end, when my family taken me to my grave, that's where is the end of my obligation. Allahumma ashhad fa'anni qad ballaght. But as long as I'm alive, I don't mean me, you, every one of us, as long as we are alive, we have families. And we have to look after these families. And we have to take care of these families. The orphans in this community, they are our families. Widows, they are our families. Needy, they are our families. Jobless, our families. The disaster, if you come back and say, I don't know them. Imagine a family, they don't know each other. So if we are building a Muslim family, we have to really do it right and do it the way that Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it. Imagine you are one person, if you are looking after 10 people, just picking up the phone and say, Assalamu alaikum, how you doing? And at the same time, you're still the same person and 10 people calling you and say, Assalamu alaikum, how you doing? One person, what is it that you can do to 10? Nothing. But what the 10 can do to you? That is Allah's mercy. But who started? When you started communicating with those 10. So now they are looking after you, like the way you looked after them. I hope inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us to see the truth. And help us, inshallah, to be a better Muslim. And to help each and every one of us to challenge the shaitan and his families. And to take care of the families. So, inshallah, we can fulfill our obligations, inshallah, right to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us a general pardon. Wipe all our sin, all our mistakes, all our shortcomings. And help us, Ya Allah. Help us, Ya Allah. We seek your help, Ya Allah. Help us to understand the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad and apply them in our life so we can live in peace and we can die in peace. And in the hereafter, inshallah, we'll be in peace and we'll be among the companion of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. Abad Allah, قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحون. Abad Allah, إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله.